Father, let my words speak what thy Holy Spirit. May I speak what the Spirit tells me and only what the Spirit tells me. Amen. I never dreamt I would be speaking about love. Last year I went on a missions trip, and as I did, I put together a few teachings, one on love, figuring that every prospective preacher should have a message on love. It's only the biblical thing to do. The message read well, it was structured nicely. When I got to Africa, I'm reading over the messages. I read the one on love, and I'm like, Father, I can't give this. I know nothing about the subject. So I did not give the message. When I got back to the States, over the summer, I completely rewrote the message. The Lord showed me in ways to look back in my past and go from there. It's funny what you remember about your past. I remember back in high school in the cafeteria, a Bible thumper came up to me. That's what I called them back then. Little did I know one day I would become like he is. He invited me to Bible study. That was the last place I wanted to go. So my mindset was to get rid of him as quickly as possible. He probably knew my mindset, so he asked me if I knew Jesus Christ. My answer was, oh, Jesus Christ, and we have a plan. He leaves me alone, I leave him alone. That was how I felt way back then. I've come through a lot of physical problems and medical problems, and my mindset back then was, God, you've done enough damage. Leave me alone. I need to fix the problems. 25 years later, I was sitting in my living room listening to a new CD album. And even though it was by my favorite artist, I really did not like the song. The album was entitled God is Love. The vocalist substituted the word love for God over and over again. My first thought was, this is a woman's thing. My second thought was to open the Bible and prove her wrong. My next thought was what I said back in high school. I leave him alone, he leaves me alone. For some reason, perhaps in my arrogance, I then substituted, we have a plan. Love leaves me alone. I leave love alone. That hit me hard. I was stunned. See, when I told God to go away, to leave me alone, back in high school, before I go any further, let me just say Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise Jesus that he will never leave us. But he will give us the desires of our heart, just as he gave the Israelite a king. That wasn't God's desire. He told Samuel, the prophet, to tell people how much a king would cost them. And the Israelites still said, we want a king. So I told God to leave me alone, and then he walked away where I could no longer see him. He, of course, could see me, can see all of us. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When I said that in high school, that was truly the desire of my heart. I probably developed that mindset more at age 7 or 10. I thought I was sending merely a person away. Kind of like saying, Jimmy, I no longer want to see you. Go away. God is more than a person. He is love, joy, and peace. The Apostle Paul greatly understood this when he said in 1 Corinthians 13, if we do recite that, perhaps we recite the love part. Before you get to verses 4 through 8, Paul is giving us a preface or conditions. And he speaks, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, I am a sounding brass. I used to read that 10, 15 years ago. You say, well, at least God, I'm partly musical. That doesn't mean you're musical. That means you're an irritant. Imagine a great symphony, and this instrument comes in that is out of key, and the strings are loose, and it's an irritant. Then Paul goes further on to say, if I can prophesy, if I know all mysteries, if I have faith to move mountains, which means heal the sick, raise the dead, and I have not love, I am nothing. Then he even goes on to further say, if I give my goods away to the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. This points out how important love is. The importance of it is not really being taught in the churches today. We all realize that when a baby comes out of the womb, they're completely self-centered, and that's normal. Then we somehow believe that when this child gets older, somehow they learn to love by osmosis. It bubbles up in them. That's not how love works. The Father is love. If we want to learn how to love, we learn from the Father above. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. The Apostle Paul is speaking, concerning brotherly love, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We're taught by God. We're not taught by the world. We're not taught even by other men, even with good intentions. We're taught by God, and that's who we need to reach out to in order to learn to love. The world teaches us good works, kindness, goodness, which is wonderful, and of course, lust. Everything the world teaches us is self-centered, me. What can it do for me? God's type of love is self-sacrificing. His love will lay down your life for a friend. I always wondered when I read passages in the Gospel of Jesus talking, saying, the world does not know me and it won't know you either. What does that really mean? The world doesn't know his love. Hence, it won't know us either if we're following Jesus. I've heard some speakers talk about a natural love. There is no such thing. Love is nothing. Love is supernatural. Love is given by God, not by the world. We can't give away what we don't have. If we don't have the genuine, the true love from the Father, we can't give it away. We can only give away good work or lust. Lust uses people. Love builds up people. We were created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, we were created in the image of God, in the image He created us. We were also created in the image of love. Let me share with you an analogy of the sun and the moon. All the moon does is reflect the sun. The moon is nothing without the sun. The moon could not say to itself, I don't need the sun. I have my own radiance. It would not work. We were created in the image of God. It does not say we are as God. It says the image. What does an image normally come from? A mirror. We are to reflect the Father. We are not God. We are not love. We are not the essence of love. We are to reflect the Father's love. The Scripture says that we on our own can do nothing, but through the Father, we can do all things. If we reflect Him, we can do all things. Just like the moon, we need to reflect the resurrection sun. Let me read for you the results of pure love. Perfect love casts out fear. We abide in God. Love covers a multitude of sins. We're rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. We achieve the crown of life. It's the bond of perfection. Peace shall be with us. We will keep His word. And faith works by love. We need a foundation of love. Love is the foundation. Back in the Gospels, Jesus pointed to Peter. He said, upon this rock I built my church. The rock is not Peter, the rock is Christ. That's the name for Christ, is the rock. We could also substitute and say love, a foundation of love. He built His church. Love is so crucial. The churches today, you rarely hear talks, and when you do hear a talk about love, it's like the one I created a year ago when I went to Africa. The Father's love, He loves us unconditionally. Give yourself a big squeeze. With love comes responsibility. I've said that prayer, Father, touch me with Your love. I no longer say that prayer. Because He won't touch you with His love unless you're a willing recipient. So often we want to get to the good on step 3 or 4 without going through step 1. Unless we're willing to be love and to love others, He's not going to rattle our boat, you might say. The prayer I now pray is more at 1 Thessalonians 4:9. teach me to love. The type of prayer you hear in church is, Father, reach down and touch us with your love. Kind of a lustful love, as you might say. Like, give me. But I'm not going to reflect back. That doesn't work. That's why the church really doesn't address this topic. Because love will cost you either time, effort, or money. People generally do not want to come to the churches and hear not only what the tithe are going to cost them, but what the faith alone is going to cost them. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as living sacrifices. That's what you truly have to go and do. Become a living sacrifice. The churches right now, we talk about what's on step 3 rather than step 1. We talk about faith, identity, the gifts, speaking in tongues, anything but the foundation. Everything works through love. Everything. We've got scriptures that say faith worketh by love. Power and love. The book of Ephesians is full of power and love, power and love. Everything. Identity. We can possibly know who we are in Christ in our head, but unless it's in their heart, how does it really get in their heart? Through love. Everything works by love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're literate, or you're illiterate. Every one of us has the ability, the same ability, either to love or not to love. God's given us a free will. That is our choice. I know friends of mine who picked up his master's in theology, well-known school. Now he's off to Cambridge, England, to pick up his PhD in theology. Might that bring him close to God? Maybe. It depends on the heart. God doesn't really give too much concern to how much you know or how much you don't know. By all means, if you have the ability, learn scripture, learn doctrine. But it's all about love. Even that paraplegic who doesn't even have an education, even him can learn, can come into the kingdom. He can learn to love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Let me close here with the love scriptures we've heard. Love is the commandment. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. The night before he was crucified, he spoke to his disciples greatly about love. The first two great commandments, love thy father as thyself with all thine heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Back in high school when I said to God, leave me alone, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. the love of God first is immeasurable, is incomprehensible. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you do have a free will. If you want to reflect that love, I do want to make two quick points. When you've heard that God is love, 1 John 4:7-8, and 1 John 4:18, we love him because he first loved us. Let me phrase that. He first loved us so that we could love him. We do not have the ability on our own to love him. We need to reflect his love, first back to him and then to other people. Thank you for letting me share.